All right. What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Serious Angler Podcast, powered by our friends over at X2 Power Batteries. Happy Monday. We are back with another Fantasy Fishing Live. Fellas, last week, first event of the year, Toledo Bend. Got a little rowdy. We got the whole crew with us tonight. What is that static?
We got some static noise going on.
Who is that?
Everyone mute your mics.
You got a was it me? No, I got nothing.
Damn.
I don't hear it now.
Yeah, it's gone.
Usually it's my fault, I'll be honest. So
I like it.
Well, it's starting off like a fantasy fishing show. Yep, so yeah. We got that going for us.
Perfect.
Well, boys, no particular order, just spurt it out there. What'd you guys think of Toledo Bend?
God, I loved it.
Yeah, it was very exciting to watch, and I think Bass did a really good job with all the forward-facing stuff, like walking it through, constantly having it up on the screen. I think one of my favorites was, like, they have the boat camera, the above camera, and the below camera, like the live forward on the screen, like the drone above, and then a camera on the boat. Like, they're doing it all and talking through it. The anglers were talking through it from what I could hear and see. It was a great event to watch.
Yeah, I only got to watch the first 2 days because Justin and I obviously had a derb. We talked about that a little bit last week. But from
congrats.
What I got,
Bailey,
yeah,
congrats.
Yeah, Bailey.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate it.
Third place finish, 50 boats. That's impressive.
It was a good time. We'll talk about that on another podcast. Right now, it's about the fantasy fishing. But you know what? While we're on it, I do got to give a shout out, actually, because Justin got to bear witness to it too. The kid that won, man, Jake from New Frickin' Jersey, loved his speech on stage. Was honestly actually really inspiring just to see the raw passion. Like, you don't see that kind of passion that this kid had out of too many people when it comes to fishing. Like, to fish tournaments, he loved it so much that he's literally not eating meals so that he can afford entry fees.
For days, he said.
The tournament, wow. Like, it's, I got to speak with him a bunch afterwards, and you could just tell, like, that's just a kid that's just driven on completely heart alone. And I just got to give him a shout out. We'll talk more about it. And I know Justin's going to talk about it on Kai Fishing Weekly, but just had to give the kid a shout because, he gave like Ike a whole pump up too in his speech, being from Jersey, never give up thing. And it was really freaking cool. So, got to give him a shout on that. But getting back to fantasy fishing. Did get to watch a little bit of live as I was graphing around in practice on Thursday and Friday. And the production, I'll agree, guys, was pretty dang good in regards to one. I'll say the anglers, like Robert G, who we've had on the show in the past couple of weeks, did a great job of always talking through what he was doing. So between the commentators, the production, and the anglers, everybody did a really good job of, when they were scoping, of talking through what was going on.
Minus Fujita, man. Fujita was, and there may be a language barrier there, but that dude was being sneaky. He was like, no one can see this bait. Like, Jake Letondres was trying to zoom in and be like, nope. so it's like, it is a freaking Jake Ed Minnow. But I mean, it was, he was being sneaky, which is great. I understand that. But I really enjoyed Robert G as well. Like, that was super impressive how detailed he was talking through things. There's just such a step up. I don't know what it is. I texted you guys, like, I don't know why the coverage is better with Bass. Like, I really can't pinpoint it. I don't know if there's a bias there of, like, watching Bass growing up and all this stuff. But, like, I feel like they really did well with the coverage of forward facing and put a good production together that, because honestly, before this tournament, we haven't seen an Elite Series event. And I was worried, looking at 2024, the way the schedule lines out and with forward facing. But I truly was entertained. I'm not just saying that. Like, I thought it was a great production and fun to watch from a forward facing standpoint.
Yeah.
Yeah. I will say really fast on the Kioia thing. I think while he never talked, it was absolutely hilarious between Jake, the camera guy, and the commentators of playing the game of if they could actually see the bait this time.
No, it's so good. It was great.
Cat and mouse. And it's like at one point, Zona's like, and spin. Like when he would spin behind the bait. That was pretty entertaining. But Boomer, Brennan, Justin, Andy, what do you guys, any takeaways from the event?
Well, I mean, I didn't think I would see that many people out scoping and cricket tickling and whatever other sentiments. I can't even talk. And like all that stuff. Like, I didn't think we'd see that many scopers. I thought there would be more guys up on the bank trying to make that happen. And the guys who tried, it just wasn't really there. And I'm sure it was going on somewhere on the lake. It was all about, was it Hauser's Creek, I think, that they were all?
Hausen.
Yeah, Hausen's Creek. Like, they were all meshed in the same 300-yard stretch, just crushing giants. And
it was bigger than – I mean, that's a big mouth right there in Hausen anyway. But, yeah, there was an insane amount of boats in there. That was crazy.
Yeah, like the top 10, what was it, like eight or nine of the top 10 were within sight of the mouth of that, yeah. And Robert was across the lake. He wasn't that much farther away. Yeah, that was a
one on Louisiana side, right?
I think so.
Except Ben on the final day went over to something else that was on the other side.
Pirates Cove or something like that, wasn't that? I thought it was a pretty good. I wanted to know. I would love to know if they could do that tournament again without live scope. What the weights would have been like? Like if you look at the weights before. A couple like the opens and stuff like that. 20 pounds a day won the open, what, 19 or something like that? No, when Gleason won it. I just think that they're catching fish that we never even would have known were there before. So I think that's pretty cool. I think it's pretty eye opening. So I think they're catching them better than they ever would have before. But I am kind of surprised the guys that didn't do well that I know are good at that kind of stuff. I was kind of surprised that. Obviously, you guys saw my team auger in. But as far as Bass, I think that here's my take on the reason Bass is so good is I think it's like the gun. You can't uninvent the gun, right? The gun changed the world, the way we do war, the way we battle. You just can't uninvent it. Same with LiveScope. It's too far along. It's too crazy. So I think they're trying to do the best they can to kind of bring everybody along because there's people with their heels dug in. So that was my take on it, and I think they did a great job.
Yeah, it definitely would have been intriguing to see no scope, seeing what would have happened on that event. But
yeah,
while we're on the topic of scope, we posted something. I just wanted to quickly share, at least on the show here, that I thought was rather interesting. Talked about it briefly offline, but Outdoor Life shared this article a little bit off topic here. Of Ed Lochran, Bassmaster Pro, found a way to use his augmented reality glasses and put live scope. You know, I feel like we've called this on the show. We're like, this is coming. Someone's going to figure out how to do
it. It came about 10 years sooner than I thought it would, but that's wild.
It looks like he's playing Super Nintendo, like Mario Brothers or something.
That looks like a really fast way to end up in the water, too.
That's what I was saying. You know what he asked. I sent this to a couple guys, and I'm just like, what do you think about this thing? Like, are you actually going to see any pros use this? The one guy said exactly what you're saying, Brennan, of the fact that one, I was going to fall in. And two, how are you going to land the fish on all you see in front of you is just the live scope screen?
Yeah. I wonder if there's a way he can speak into it and like shut off during that time that he's fighting a fish so he can see it.
I'm sure it's like half, like, you know how.
Like on bifocals?
Well, and not necessarily like you can have it be somewhat clear through, you can still see around you, right?
I heard it was like translucent.
Right, right.
Yeah, like it's kind of like a head-up display.
Right, or like you see on vehicles, right? Like have you seen on newer cars and trucks?
A Corvette has them, yeah.
Like, yeah. I mean, I don't know. The joke I made Shout out to Ty Faber, who's
there's one right here. Randy's head just exploded.
I was gonna say this is nails on a chalkboard for the anti crowd. Right,
but my buddy Ty, who's kicking butt in the opens right now, he was like, dude, I think if we're all gonna be out there with VR goggles on, I'm just gonna start drilling people like with jigs and stuff. Everyone's looking around, just like not in minding their own business, just getting slapped in the face with jigs, and like just no one's gonna be paying attention to anything.
Oh my god! Can you imagine the pranks you could pull on people? It's but I saw something that was pretty funny. I want to say it was Fishing with Gramps posted this exact thing, and he's like, "For all you." For all you scope and crybabies, no more guys are looking down anymore.
Yeah, no more neck problems.
Yes, yeah. I definitely don't foresee this being a thing, at least in my opinion.
Yeah, I don't see it being
an efficient tool.
I have lost so many sunglasses, like burning down the lake and looking back. It's like, maybe we should go back there. Off they go. Could you imagine? Oh, no. My VR goggles.
You got my live scope.
put it on the trailer. I'm done.
My neck's going to hurt tomorrow.
Those were $12,000.
Is that how much they cost?
Oh, man. Thank you, Trevor.
Jace, we got two new members tonight. We never asked for this, but... appreciate you fellas for becoming members on the YouTube. Again, we never asked for you guys to do this, but it certainly is appreciated. And we'll try to figure out some things for you for the YouTube members that we got so far. But yeah, well, how much are those things? 10 grand, somebody say? 12 grand?
I'm just kidding. I'm being facetious. I have no idea. I'm trying to cause problems. Start rumors.
I'm actually looking. Hold on. Let me look at this. Augmented reality glasses. Let's see how much these things cost. You weren't terribly far off. I mean, okay.
Yeah. I know what I'm talking about. Like
$3,500 is Apple's. Lenovo's got one for $4,500, I'm seeing.
So you're just three times the amount. That's all.
I mean,
but like, okay, let's be realistic.
How much? 5 years ago, they would have been 12 grand. So,
right. I mean, a 12 inch fish finder is going to cost you $3,500.
Like, sounds like we need.
Yeah, why not? Guys. Why not get some cool shades?
Somebody call Hobie.
We just got to upsell. Our product has to do something more to be 12 grand.
Make it so you can.
Ours have like windshield wipers.
No. Like hit a button and you can change the tint in your sunglasses.
Yep. Yeah. They shoot out bug spray away from your eyes.
My first thought was bifocals. I mean, I'm the old guy here, right? Like, what if we could put bifocals in those? You know?
There you go. So the top half is. Scope, and the bottom half is bifocal, so you can tie your knots.
Yeah, 3x magnification.
Yep. For only $12,000.
Hurry up! There's a fish. There's a fish.
And you're gonna have an AI assistant. You can be like,
for a small fee.
Hey, can I tell me how big that fish is? 4 pounds? Is it a smallmouth? What is it?
Yeah. Cast 20 yards to the right.
Put Adam's number up on the screen so people can place orders.
Oh man. Yeah. We could have Brandon's voice. Hey, you're really sucking. You don't got nothing in the tank. Shut up, Jarvis.
You just get a absolutely just pissed off Randy Blockett yelling your ear without looking at the screen too much. That would make it
take off. It's Randy's voice to tell you, like, 3 feet further to the left, reel in, burn it in.
If you just get the guy,
he directs your cast for you.
Yeah. Right. Happy Gilmore, and every time you make a bad cast, that was a bad cast, you jackass.
There you go. Jim Burrows, thank you for coming a member, man. Seriously, appreciate that. On a roll tonight in the chat. We got a bunch of people in here, engagements rolling in the group chat down here, so appreciate y'all for tuning in. We're about to crack into Lake Fork, I promise, but we should, before we go on another tangent about some other topic about AR glasses. What
is that? What they're called? AR glasses?
I mean, augmented reality glasses.
Okay, I guess I didn't know that was the
AR. Probably doesn't sound
Yeah, I was
like, say that word on this platform. They don't like that.
We're going to get canceled.
Demonetized.
What about VR? Virtual reality?
That's what I thought it was.
That's what
we're those are like those big goggle things that you see people walking around with now, just playing video games.
Dude, those are some of the funniest videos, though. Of them wearing those and they punch their TV thinking they're playing like Wii Sports.
So good.
That's pretty good stuff. Okay. Let's. I know in the past we've gone through our previous tournament and how we've done well, but I'm just going to run through the scores, being that our group here has grown. So I'll run through the rankings, I'll say, but and then we'll start getting into to Lake Fork. So rounding out the caboose after the first event of our group of six here. It must have been beginner's luck because he's rounding out the end.
Sophomore slump.
Mr. Jake Boomer with 827 points. Ouch.
Come on, Boomer.
Not a good start.
I know.
That's terrible, man.
That was bad.
Insider information did not work this week, huh?
Yeah. If you feel yourself sucking, suck less. That's what Brandon always tells me. See, like, what is that? There's, you can't do anything with that, but I need to suck less.
In fifth with 916 points, we got Mr. Brennan Chapman. In fourth with 958, we got the captain, Mr. Andy Full.
Really need to suck less, in the words of Boomer down here.
Yeah.
Pollinick. That's Pollinick.
Pollinick.
I'm not coining that one.
He's paraphrasing him. Pollinick.
In third with 1,060 points, Mr. Justin Largen. In second with 1,083 is myself. And in first is the try-hard Sarah Deacon with 1,100.
Sorry for winning, Bailey.
Wait. Did he pick last again?
I swear. I clearly didn't copy Boomer's picks like everyone thinks.
No.
Well, is there a rule that you can't change it after the log?
Yes.
Like
yes.
You guys have, okay. Yeah.
No.
That's been the rule.
Boomer, do you have something to confess? Are you guilty of this?
Was that ever stated like last week?
Send me the trophy back.
You never sent me the trophy.
It's on the way.
That's because we knew you cheated, Boomer. You didn't get the trophy.
At this rate, just send it to somebody else so I don't have to pay to ship it somewhere else after this run. I'm trying to see. I forgot to check and see how bad I did at drain the lake.
Maybe it's the first of that, Boomer. You can come back and win.
Yeah.
I don't
know. Right. Long season, boys. Long on, season. Man.
I'm last by a lot in drain the lake.
Throwing in the towel.
I just remember vividly having like 700 points the first day last year, start the season. I remember Deacon getting pissed at me because I'm like, well, season's over, boys. I'm like, we're done. And he's like, dude, it's the first day. All right. So
you gotta pick him up. Come on, man. It's not over.
It's never over until it's over.
That's right.
Let me bring up Drain the Lake. We have... In sixth with 1,304 points, Justin Largen. With 1,404, 100 points more is myself in fifth. We got the captain in fourth with 1,464. Deacon in third, 1,491. Boomer in second with 1,567. Brennan making a strong charge.
All right.
First derby of the year for Drain the Lake with 1,594.
Dang.
Well done, Brendan.
Thanks.
You just want the baits this year. You don't even want the trophy.
Yeah. What was the prize for this again? I can't remember Drain the Lake.
It was all of us send baits, a bait or baits, up to $50 to the winner.
Mm-hmm. Want that
I assume you haven't.
I was going to say.
Deacon still doesn't have my baits. They're sitting like right there, ready to go. I just need to get to the post office.
Oh, just wait.
I've heard that before. Next year.
No, I literally, they're sitting right there.
And you see busy playing hopscoffs today.
I hope this happens every Fantasy Fishing episode. And then at the end of the season, we'll just make a video up. of literally of Andy just going, oh, the bait's there. Oh, next week. Like, just play
it. Yeah. And Adam has 50 wiggle warts of mine and nobody else is sending anything. I'm just shipping wiggle warts every year.
You're a good man, Brennan.
Hey, I sent some JDM baits. It was the week before season started, but it was better.
Those are some neat stuff. I got some fancy stuff.
I think there should be a punishment if Andy doesn't send by the end of the season.
Agreed.
No, you'll get them. Don't worry.
Yeah. I haven't sent mine either, Andy. So a lot of confidence. Don't fall on the sword for both of us. Okay, I'm waiting for the rust. I'm waiting for the rust on the hooks to fully develop before I put them in the mail. Like I want to kind of mess the paint up a little bit, rust, and then they're going to ship out.
Now we're talking.
Just straight rusted bladed jigs or blade base, just straight metal. Yes.
It's going to cost him $50 just to ship it because it's just going to be so heavy.
Hazmat.
Was is there anything liquid, perishable, or like explosive? And you're like, yes,
right?
All of the above.
Yes. Absolutely.
The look on their face when you say, yeah, all of it.
So good.
All right. Any last takeaways from Toledo before we start getting into Lake Fork?
I'll throw one out. I didn't get a chance to watch any of the coverage because of the tournament, like Bailey was saying, but I thought Derek Hudnall was a pretty good story. I think after day one, he was 80th, something like that, and then put up back-to-back 20-pound sacks and jumped all the way up to, I think it was 30th. I could be wrong on the where he ended up, but I thought that was pretty cool.
He was top 35, that's for sure, because I was looking in fantasy fishing, picking for this event, and I said he had a top 35. So that is a big jump.
No joke. Oh, John Sokup, dude, same deal, right? Yeah. Like he
24 pounds.
That saved my team quite a bit. He ended up finishing 38th. Dude,
19th, right? 19th day two.
Yeah, he jumped. Yeah, he jumped somewhere close anyway. But I mean, I don't know. I just remember this the last show, Brennan and I talking about how Mr. Ben Milliken was going to kill it, and he did very well. And then same with Patty Walters, carried my team anyway a long ways. In second,
I think anybody's gonna have Walters, they're gonna be okay the rest of this year. My question for you guys, actually, speaking of Walters, is on stage day three, he was saying that if he makes the final day, which he obviously ended up doing, he said he's gonna go into the bank and catch them spawn. He's like, they're going there, I'm gonna see him there tomorrow for the final day. Is that how he caught them on the final day? I didn't get to watch.
He went shallow. But he was still scoping. Dirk Baton. But the final day, Chris did, dude. I don't know. I listened to the way.
Luke Palmer went shallow, too, the final
day. And so did Jay Lee. At the end of the day, they're like, I mean, they were coming, right? But Chris Johnston said that they were just early, right? But he saw a 7, an 8, a 5. And a bunch of big ones like on beds that were just fresh, right? Like they just pulled up on the final day. He went up and couldn't get him to eat. He only caught bucks.
Jeez. Yeah. If this event was like,
it would have been 2 days later, it would have been a big shallow fest.
I was going to say, like, for the people that wanted the shallow flipping bite, like the Hackney people to go off, right? That style of fisherman. If this event was like a couple days after the fact, man, it would have been a wholly, totally different thing.
Now we're going.
It makes me think about this next one a lot. I know there's a cold front coming, but it's got me thinking. Like I don't know what to do.
Yeah. Well, let's start getting into that. Let me pull up the weather here for Fork. Got the 10-day forecast. So we got Wednesday. Let's start with today. Practice was 66.
That's a nasty cold front.
Wow, look at the change. 66 82. To 82.
The nighttime stays consistent with that, which is crazy to me. The 82 to 54, which is nuts. 54 to 58, then up to 58 on the first day of the event. 74, 82, 81.
Well, those fish are going to be in a funk on Thursday.
Mm-hmm. It's not a nice wind either on Fork or south wind.
Don't doubt that. Texas south winds, man.
Mm-hmm. I think there's going to be some of it. I don't think we're going to see a lot of spawning.
Probably I think Saturday, Sunday. Sunday would probably be the best day for it.
Fork's also north of Toledo, a good little bit, you know.
Right. So I guess with that being said, some insider information from an actual Elite Series pro who's on the lake said Shallow is not firing like I thought it would be, looking like it might be another scoping fest. That is the words from an Elite Series pro. So that's going to be interesting. I don't know if that affects anybody's picks, but that's somebody that's actually on the lake, not just six jabronis on a podcast making their picks.
Armchair quarterbacking.
That's right.
I wonder if those fish are going to be close, though, like right on that first break. And like that,
I could see someone
in the water
reaction baiting doing pretty dang well. You know what I mean?
I mean, if you guys on Justin Atkins' story, and this is me taking this out of context from put to your point, Andy, there's Polinick was graphing like a row of docks. So it could have been that's what exactly what he was looking for. Like, looked like he was either that or that's me. He was just going through the chat. This is me taking out of context, but. I totally agree with you. I think they're going to be shallow. There's going to be some shallow for sure. I don't know. I think the big bait's going to play. Definitely scoping's going to play. They're not all going to be shallow. That's for dang sure. So anybody that you saw at Toledo that's doing well scoping's probably going to do pretty well, I'd imagine, at this event. But, all right. Any other predictions about Lake Fork? I feel like it's rather straightforward on this one. In regards to, it's probably going to be forward facing, big baits. Maybe, I don't know. Are we going to see much pinging a minnow again?
It's barely Trey Duquette said one of the guides there caught a stud on a bed today at Fork. Well,
there you go.
So it's probably just starting in certain areas. Yeah. Just cue Lee Livesey again, right? Like.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder if those air temps, I wonder how much that'll actually affect the water temperature. Like how many degrees? And if it'll be enough if you've got some already up there, if they'll actually back off.
Yeah, that the low 40 degree nights are what scare me. Like if you had mid 50 degree nights with a high of like 60, I don't think they would back off. But 40 degrees is cold. Like that's enough to drop. Shallow temps 4, 5, 6 degrees, I would think.
Well, so it's actually, I don't think it's really that drastic. So it's 66 tonight is the low for tonight, 66. And then it's 47 for Tuesday, 43. Yes, that one's the cold one. But I don't know if one night is enough to pull them back.
Yeah, it probably just holds them up from going, honestly. They'll probably be in that mid-range, well, that first break type deal.
Yeah, but each night it gets warmer and warmer, 45, 55, 60, 62.
Yeah, by Saturday, Sunday, if people make it and they know where they're going to spawn, I think that's when you'll start seeing a surplus of fish on beds. Not a ton, but there'll be enough.
Will there be way more fish offshore that are targeted via pinging?
I think it's going to be that first break to offshore deal. And they're going to be grouped up because it's pre-spawn. Yeah.
I can go.
So the guys who are catching them are going to catch them for 4 days, and the guys that are struggling are going to struggle. So.
Yeah, I think we'll see the guys shallow using that perspective, and then guys out deep.
Yes and no, though, man. I think if you've got the clear enough water, right? Like, I'd rather look at one with my eyeballs than I would on scope if it's clear enough. You know what I mean? As long as I can keep a distance away. But if it's like hard to see or if it's windy, then yeah.
I'm saying any fish that's just moving shallow and in general right now, especially around docks, things like that, I could just see that being a player. The guys that have both on their boat.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. The perspectives, it's fun. It's really fun to me, at least the times I've used it, but it's tricky a little bit. I mean, to me, like bluegill beds really show up well, beds show up well. And fish do, don't get me wrong, but I still like, if I'm looking at a dock, I'm still probably going to focus on my forward just because you can see like a fish next to a stump or something. But those guys,
have you watched Scott Martin's YouTube videos of him on Okeechobee from the open?
I have not.
That I, if you can go watch it and zoom on your phone to his screen, it's impressive watching the fish in Florida swimming on the bed on perspective.
Oh, isn't it crazy, dude? For that, I turned my live scope transducer sideways and was like, I mean, blown away. Like, that's I was absolutely in awestruck last year looking at it around bluegill beds and around bass moving around.
Sheesh.
It's insane.
Yeah.
I have an observation. You know how, like, we haven't been in Texas this early, right? The elites have. There was in Florida, which is a little bit warmer, has a warmer winter. And you ever notice, like, when they start going to the beds, that's all everybody talks about. They're going to the beds. We caught a big one on a bed. And it's always the big ones that get caught. Because I think Brad Watley caught an 11 in practice at Fork, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody wants them to go to the beds because that's old school. But that's not the highest percentage. You know, everybody's like, oh, I want to see him coming to me. But I actually think coming out of winter is what won Toledo, right? Coming out of winter into that first staging pre-spawn spot. Everybody wanted the bed stuff, but it wasn't happening. I kind of have a feeling, especially with this weather, that we everybody wants them to go shallow, but it's that very first wave. And the moon kind of hit and it wasn't right. Now you got a little bit of this weird weather. I mean, we're farther north than like the Florida stuff, which would have been on beds right now, right? Everybody keeps talking about they're going to go to the bank, but it was very clear that was fish coming out of winter going into pre-spawn or into that stage that won the last one that really drove most of those bigger bags. I feel like saying that it's going to happen at Fork is like I'm sitting here thinking about every one of my picks because of that. But anyway. Yeah. I mean, is that, you know what I'm saying? Like, we're not normally in Texas, really. Yeah.
I think that's a great point. Yeah.
I think we kind of talked about it, right? Like, we felt like at Toledo, the biggest in Texas in general, like, those big pre-spawn females seem to come the latest, right? Like, yeah, there's a couple up. There's going to be fish spawning. Is it the highest and best pattern at the time for the biggest bag? Like, I don't know, but it seems like there's always some magic. That's why you see the blowout weights, right? Like the 35-pound bags on Rayburn or whatever else. There's just a group of big females that are still out starting to stage.
And these are Florida strain bass that we're talking about ultimately, right? Like, I mean, these fish are not coming in one big wave like a lot of our northern fish and you know, the north half of the country. Like, this isn't going to take place over the course of like 2, 3, 4 days, right? Like, this is a massive, long, drawn-out process, so... I don't think that there's any like urgency to pick all on guys that are, you know, shallow water fishermen, but I don't know. I'm curious to see how you guys' picks unfold.
Are we going to see a big bait dominate this event?
Dominate or play?
I'm
play for sure. Yeah.
What do we think beyond that? Like jerk bait, jig,
big glide.
I don't know. I don't know if I could see a guy pulling out the hanging a minnow in that timber.
I'm pretty sure glide bait played for Lee Livesey 2 years ago. I don't know if it was a fish that he weighed or if it was practice finding fish. I know that there was a story there with the glide bait that doesn't get talked about.
He said he dumped like a 8 or 9 on it going into the weigh on the last day.
Maybe that's what it was.
He could have had even bigger than the 42, whatever he had.
Alex has a good point here. I know we haven't gotten into picks yet, but this is it's got me thinking the same way with some stuff. But
dude, nice without it, he still puts up mega bags, so I don't think it even matters. I think he's the asterisk on this, man. It's like you had Keith Combs with Toledo, and that's my exact thinking with that one, but that's like a whole different deal, man. Like Livesey, I think his brain with Zerk is better than Four Face and Sonar. He just knows that lake so damn well.
I can't think of a person that could defend their own home lake better, honestly. Like I can't think of who it would be that could defend their own lake like more times than Lee Livesey. I don't know. Yeah. And like anglers that I've talked to just have a tremendous amount of respect for him on Fork specifically, like his time invested and experience out there.
This is bold as hell. It says Livesey will do all right with all the knowledge. He won't threaten to win though.
I disagree.
I'm
been there three that, times.
And I'm gonna wait till Lee wins again, and I'm gonna send it to him.
I don't know what else he's asked the guy to do.
I disagree with that too.
Yeah. And the thing, he's gonna know all that off the wall, tiny car size shell beds, desk size shell beds that people don't have time to graph, and he'll know how to navigate to them where he can make the same cast for 8 hours, and he knows he's gonna get five giant bites off of five of them.
And it's not like he doesn't have live scope on his boat either.
Right. And he hasn't been using it. Like, I mean, I totally agree. I think.
I guess we don't have to go over bucket C at all then, right, guys?
Yeah, I think at what is he at? Like 69.70%.
Because already yeah. arguing.
Don't be a stat again this year. If you're the percentage that you know the outlying 40% that doesn't pick him, like don't be that group again this year. Because yeah, everybody, like you've learned your lesson.
Not on this one anyway.
Troy here on Facebook says every time they've been there when he did well was post spawn. Yes, granted, post spawn / spawn, but the dude lives on the lake, has been guiding on it for years.
The only times they've been there, right? Have they been there pre spawn, the elites?
April and May, to my knowledge.
He's probably sitting back there and he's like, all these people are hating on me. He goes, I can't wait to crack 130.
He's sitting there cracking a bush light pen, being like, let's go, boys.
I think the overall point people are making, though, and I think this is evident, and I think they did a great job covering this. Dave Mercer talked about it during the event, is that it's not that these guys suck, right? And someone, it's a little different in my eyes with Elie Livesay, but it's to say, look, these rookies that come out right now, A, they went through a 9-9 tournament gauntlet and the opens to get here, number one. And number two, the younger generation, the forward-facing sonar, has sped up the learning curve so dramatically. And these guys are so good at it that it's like, I mean, dude, where did the lowest rookie finish in Toledo? Like,
I was just thinking the same thing. They were all like 30th, right?
Right.
Yeah, like all cash checks.
The point I think that people are making with like maybe going against some of these guys is like, you need to be having these rookies on your fantasy fishing team because they are phenomenal, especially in forward facing sonar events, which is a lot of these events right
yes,
now.
Yeah.
I didn't have any on my drain the lake, and I fixed the roster that I had set for this week. I'm not making that mistake again.
Right.
We got which rookies or younger guys in general are you guys keeping an eye out for?
How did Tompkins do on Toledo?
I think he cut a check. I just don't know where exactly.
I think 30th. He finished 30th. John Garrett finished like 62nd, I think.
Yeah, John Garrett was a surprise, yeah.
I mean, after the first day, they were all in the top 40.
It's yeah. crazy.
I think three of them were in the top 10. Yeah. Yeah. Like Drew has a great point here. Livesay has too many spots to run. So there's almost no way none of his spots over the course of a day don't produce. I think the only way Lee Livesay's not in the top 10, top five is if he has like one of the last boat draws and all of his spots are taken.
Yeah.
That's the only way I see him not doing well here. And MJ says he's handicapping himself with Mega Live. Well, he fishes this place without forward face zone. We've seen him do that multiple times. I think he's going to be fine. But get your point.
I think he could turn his graphs off completely and be fine.
Yeah,
probably.
He's probably already got, yep, there's that tree. When I put my boat against that tree and a cast towards that house with the glide, we'll be all right. We'll catch him. He's probably got trees picked out as his own. They have his name on them. Okay, I guess we should start getting into picks, eh? Being as though we're already talking about we live to see the whole time.
Yeah, Bucket C is done.
Bucket C is done. Although I will say we'll get to it. Stop jumping ahead here. Okay, E2A. Let me share screen this here.
Hey, we forgot one thing. Century Club did occur. That was cool.
Oh yeah, for Kyoya. Talk about a monster last day.
Dude, when I really thought like Ben had a chance the last day, and then you saw what Patty's doing, but then like Koya was on it, man. Like his average fish was like 5-6 pounds every fish he was putting in the box, and I was like, okay, yeah, dang it.
Yeah. It's not gonna when he took a 30-minute break to reweigh everything, I'm like, yeah. One, he's sandbagging. Those are not 4-pounders. And two, he's on him. There is no fear. I don't know if you guys watched that, but even Mercer was like, there is no sense of urgency. He like reweighed one three times. It was like a 32-minute reweigh, middle of the day.
32-minute
reweigh. And then he would tell everybody, oh, it's a 4.5. And they're like, that's not a 4.5. That's
like 7.
Yeah. 3 7s and yeah, it's crazy.
Got a comment from Brian that says, Bailey, for the love of all that's holy, please sort the buckets by percentage owned.
Nice. Good call.
I am today years old realizing you
can. I didn't realize you could do that.
Yeah, we did it last year too. I think somebody
called us out and we all felt like idiots.
Oh, well, I feel like an idiot again then because I don't remember.
For the love of God.
Yeah, people make sure that's what I did.
For the love of God.
And Bailey, this is just a friendly reminder. I know you're exhausted. Make sure you add your picks in this week.
Mm-hmm. Appreciate you, boo.
Jeez.
All right, let's kick this thing off, man. Brian, thank you. Always keeping us on task. I guess we'll start from last place to first place. Is that what we're doing, or we're making first?
No, go? We agreed. First has to go.
Okay. Well,
it's
then
like cornhole, right? If you win, you're the first toss.
No problem. You see, I don't care about order. Like,
yeah. Okay, we'll see who gets last place next week.
Yeah.
I see the sweat.
There's a big cojones now.
Man, Bucket E to me was actually pretty dang tough. I didn't think there was anyone that shot out to me as like such a better situation, but I'm going Kyle Welcher. I think he had a really frustrating event on Toledo. I think he can do extremely well scoping. I was really tempted to pick Cobb if they storm the bank. I mean, that dude is incredible throwing a Senko around and bed fishing while he's looking for bed fish and catching them shallow. He's so good at it, but I just think that more of these fish aren't going to be caught out. So Kyle Welcher was my Bucket E pick.
Heck yeah.
When was the last time you saw the angler of the year, reigning angler of the year in Bucket E after one of them?
Dude, the first thing I thought of like that. Yeah. Wild.
Yeah,
he's going to be mad.
Yeah.
And Cobb was right there too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cobb almost won it.
I don't know where he's getting this information from, but Chris says Welcher's least favorite lake is Lake Fork. Must be true. Maybe it's on the internet.
YouTube.
It must be true. It's on the internet.
For Bucket E, I went with the route of a non-scoper. And I think if there's going to be a guy that finds him shallow, I think it's going to be Mr. Greg Hackney here. A mix of fish either moving up, fish on bed, whatever it may be. I was listening to him on the Mercer podcast, and he was talking about how literally until he goes up to like St. Lawrence or events where he knows he really needs to have forward, he doesn't even put on his boat, which I thought was pretty awesome. So I think this might be one of those where I don't think you need forward to do well. Obviously there's definitely a strong game there like we saw at Toledo, but I think in this one more than we saw at Toledo, I think you could see Greg make some pretty big waves shallow. So I'm going with Greg Hackney. So we got, who's up now? We have Justin, you're up.
I was thinking along the same lines. I didn't hear the podcast, but I know Hackney, kind of like Welcher, not going to be happy with how he fished last week. I think he's going to be mad at him. And I think he'll do just fine at Fork.
All right. We got two Hackneys. Andy.
Three Hackneys. I like if Hackney's in like it's like Jason Christie almost. If they're in group D and E, it's like a surefire bet. You have to take them because they are going to catch them at one of these events, and you're like, oh, there he is, he's back. And he always catches them shallow. I'm surprised he didn't at Toledo. So yeah, he's gonna catch him.
All right, Brennan, what you got?
I wanted to go Hackney. Welcher sounded great as well, but I went Brandon Cobb. It's not even because of the dub that he's got here.
It's the percentage.
It's the percentage. That's exactly right. No, but honestly, no, he, I feel like he's good at that pre-spawn transition time. I really do. I got to believe, too, like he's well-versed with forward-facing sonar. Let's be honest. Every single one of these guys are. It's just a matter of to what degree. Being a South Carolina guy, got to believe he's got a fair amount of time in with it. And I think you're going to need it for this event like we maybe had talked about. So I'm taking Cobb.
All right. Well, after hearing all of those picks, Boomer, whose pick are you going to copy?
I'm not. this could suck. looking at the weather.
You got to make up ground, man. So you can be risky.
I'm being a little risky, especially after his last finish. But I'm kind of married to that thing where I don't think they're coming to the bank as fast as everybody thinks they are. So
I'm with you,
baby. And I also think that this is going to be a tough biter. Like that weather drop is significant. And the best person I know, I fished with him, that can adapt to it is Smith. And I'm taking him because he sucked so bad last week that if he is really who I think he is as an angler, this will make him so mad. Oh shucks, Brian. This is the last time I already told him. I said, if you suck, I won't pick you again for the rest of the year. But
I feel like last year you said that and then he went off.
Yeah, no, last year you like threatened his deal.
You said I'm firing him.
Yeah. Like, Brian, like his actual business deal.
Yes, dude. Oh, it's so awesome.
He is super good. When I remember fishing a couple events where nobody, like everybody had three fish, and Brian's like, well, I caught five really, but it was tough. I got mad I wasn't getting bites. And I'm like, everybody's mad they don't get bites. How do you actually turn that into getting bites? And he's just,
I don't know.
Yeah, that dude's awesome. Yeah. So I'm giving him a shot at this because this is that tweener tournament, I think. We'll see. But he is, he went down to Mojave and only scoped on 2 days or 3 days of practice and almost won the U.S. Open. He lost the winning fish at the boat scoping. So I still think he can scope after last week. We're all questioning it, but
I just he's going to be super savage about Brian's leg. He's just like ripping on me. We love him, but like, you know, he sucks so bad. And if he does that again, I don't know if we can be friends or he can use the rods anymore.
Oh, no.
This is how Boomer motivates his guys.
Friends is off the table. He can use the rods, but anyways. So I took Smith. I know he's got it in him, and I've seen him. He really shines when it gets miserable. So
I love it. He has a great year last year, and starts off one bad event. And Boomer's like, his career's done. He's over.
I'm like, just take a break. I chewed his ass. I did. I'm like, what are you? Mostly be just because. What's going on in pro fishing right now is the excuse. Like I would tell anybody that watches this thing right now, if you have picked a pro that's on social media complaining about forward facing, don't pick them.
No joke.
Because this Panic sport does not allow for negativity. I mean, like it's daylight till dark. You miss one dumb thing, you're going to fail. It takes twice as much time to get a negative thought out of your head as a neutral thought. So if you're mad and posting about how much you hate the 30 years of experience is gone, all that kind of stuff, you're already not probably in the winning group.
I had one of those anglers in my drain, the lake, and saw that social media post and went, uh-oh. Got to make a change.
I'm about to hire Boomer as a life coach, honestly.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
I was just tearing up. Right up. Keep going.
You're right tearing up.
Right you keep going, Boomer. Tell him.
Yeah, you keep this up. I'm going to run through a wall after this, Boomer.
He's still in late talks of boom, boom.
All right.
I'm going to enter a marathon this weekend. I'm going to find one. I'm going to run it. Thanks,
I wish Boomer. I had some like inspirational background music and just let Boomer just have the floor. Just like. Yeah.
This is Jake Boomer. We're going to paint.
Oh, God. We're 50 minutes in. We're still on bucket D.
That's fantasy fishing.
This is we can skip C.
Far for this reason.
Oh, man. Okay.
Somebody else is
falling asleep.
You can group D.
Group D, man. I'm going chalk here because I think he is incredible around timber, number one. And also, he's really good with scope. We've seen it all, the cowboy hat, but didn't do as well as I had anticipated on Toledo Bend. But Joey Cifuentes on Fork is my bucket D pick. I think they're still going to be out, and not to mention he can catch them shallow too. But I think he's a good safe pick in bucket D for me, and so that's who I'm going with.
Dig it. Going down the list of bucket D, I went with a guy that's a hybrid. Watched him win a classic off of being a hybrid, of being able to go out and scope fish, but also be able to go up on the bank, one fisher up on the bank, be able to flip a jig, throw a spinner bait, things like that. And just as straight up fishy when it comes to an event where there's big fish being caught. And I'm going with Jason Christie.
I feel like he didn't need that much justification, Bailey, but.
Hey, I gotta give something. I can't be like, "Yep, Jason Christie." All right, Justin. Yeah.
We're at 1 hour in.
I gotta give something to the guy. It's freaking Jason Christie, man.
He's the guy that won the classic last year, right? That's a joke.
He's pretty much scoping the whole time.
I did not pick up on that.
I was thinking along the same lines as Bailey. I did not go with Christie, but I went with another old school guy. I saw one of his social media posts. He sat out and watched the guys take off, I think, on day three. Said it was motivating. He was wearing a shirt. I'm trying to remember the exact slogan. I think it was adversity is opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
So I see Gerald Swindle bouncing back in this one. He's also got some history on the lake, had a top 10 last time they were there. I can see Gerald having a good one. That's who I went with.
Didn't he have like 100 pounds and 1 ounce or something like that last year?
Yeah, he got a century.
I think he just got it.
Yeah.
That was the event we all thought. Is Swindle going to finally win his trophy? Yeah. And then Lee's like, nope.
And he get third to Polinick, and it was by a tiebreaker. Yep.
Yeah. That was a fun way in to watch. All right. Andy, what do you got?
It's Texas. I'm taking Swindle. He always shows up in the heart of Texas, and he's going to catch him again, no matter what electronics he's using or what he believes in and doesn't like. He's going to catch him. So,
Andy's on an old school vibe. I'm liking right now. I'm like the legends. You got all. You're going old school legend vibe.
It'll change. Don't worry.
All right. We all rookies from now on.
Yeah, and then he's like. Switch it up the next three.
You know. All right, Brennan.
Yeah, Swindle was tempting. I kind of view him as like a Swiss Army knife. Like you plug him in anywhere you need him, anywhere they're at, anywhere across the country, and he's going to do you right. But I, too, like Adam, went Joey Cifuentes. I just think there's a good chance you're going to see fish being caught in the timber on a jerk bait, pinging a minnow, something like that, something to that effect. And I think he's one of the best on tour at it. He's shown us before. So he had a bad event last one. I think he bounces back here.
So did you just put the owner percentage up?
Yes.
Like, and just picked all the top.
Dude, I already revealed my strategy. I was being honest. Yeah. Yep. Yep. I'll just lead with that every time. And then I won't. Yeah. There doesn't need to be a summary or a justification. I'll just say percent owned.
Letting the stats do the talking.
Yep, percent owned.
That's right. Boomer, what you got, dude?
I took Cifuentes too. And I'll tell you why. Like, you guys all had all
the great. Stealing all Deacon's picks here.
All right, here we go. Another motivational speech. Let's go, baby.
Nope. What do we totally got? I'm just copying Adams.
Sarah Deacon. I was about to run for the wall for you, Boomer.
Actually, I watched him because he had to do a live mix on one of the FS1 days. I don't know if you got to see that, but he had like his headphones on and then his cowboy hat on crooked and he was joking and like it didn't seem to faze him. And it wasn't a bomb. It was 65th. Like I think he kind of saved himself. It was a tough tournament. So just his demeanor, like it didn't seem to bug him at all. So, and you're right. All the other things that make him a great angler and the fact that he's 27%. So I took, and Sarah Deacon took him. So
he said, and then,
and a quick shot.
Do we even have to do? I don't think we got to do Group C.
No, I think we're all taking.
How about
did anyone take anyone but Lee in group C?
Exactly.
Respect. Mic drop. Don't you dare, Boomer. Just swing and let you switch. No. We'll let you switch.
I didn't. I took Polinick.
Oh.
I mean, and I didn't even think twice either. I took Polinick.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That takes guts, pick. Man.
I mean, Polinick's done well on catch.
Yeah. Honestly, though, if there's a person to pick besides him, I mean, I hear you.
If this was 11%.
If this was like a few weeks later, maybe 2-3 weeks later, this would be a really messed up bucket to try to pick who's going to be better at sight fishing between Cox, Benton, and Cook.
Oh my gosh, good point. If this was a spawn deal, this would be brutal. Yeah. I mean, another sleeper, right? Clark Wendlet down there. Clark Wendlet's.
Even Schmidt is a good bed fisherman. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, geez. Kennedy could be a really good pick in Group C at 0.8% because he's just a wild card. There's big fish around. Kennedy is going to catch a couple of them.
I don't know if this is true or not, but Alex, I think. Like, this could be a prediction just based on that. Because if all of us bomb with that pick, right, and Polinick does well, just saying, could happen.
Boomer's going to blow right by us.
Alex is actually
I'll tell you really what, good
at fantasy, too.
Cook and Ben roommates have both never gotten above 50th at Fork, and that's because it's post-bomb. So they would have been better if they'd have gone to the bank. But I agree with Andy. Kennedy was a really strong pick. If this thing stays kind of goofy, pre-spawnish, I that's just me. I just took all of the bed guys out, the post-spawn guys out, and went for the pre-spawn guys. It makes you wonder about Hank Cherry too, right?
Yeah. How many videos have you seen of Hank Cherry in Texas somewhere flipping a jig against a dock, catching a 7-pound?
Yeah.
Or jerkbait fishing before LiveScope was a thing.
Right. Going 2 feet for 10 minutes, like he fishes so slow and methodical. Yeah. There, I'm glad. I'm one different than you guys.
We'll see if it pays
off. We're just trying to speed the show up, okay, Boomer?
Sorry. Like, I'm copying the rest of – you guys can turn me off. I'm copying Adam for the rest of the week.
All right, Deacon, what you got?
Bucket B was honestly probably my toughest bucket. And I'm just annoyed that I don't have a rookie anywhere else because these rookies are proving to be phenomenal. So I'm going JT Tompkins in bucket B. I'm sure he has been down pre-fishing or pre-fishing on Fork. And I'm sure he's phenomenal with scope and everything else based on his open season. So that is my bucket B pick.
I dig it. I went with a guy that, one, obviously he knows the lake well. He's been there a few times, has put up the century belt there before. Granted, yes, it was post-spawn, slash spawn. But he's a guy that I've actually seen in, you know, in Florida and Texas as well, firsthand put up some giant limits. And I don't know. It's one that I feel pretty good about it, actually. And I'm going with Shane LeHue.
That's a good pick. Good sneaky pick.
Top four in 2022, wasn't he? Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
Yep, yep. Justin, what you got?
I went with Adam, or thought like Adam. I like JT Thompson.
I went with Deacon. I'm fishing it, baby.
No, I picked Bailey. Bailey. No, I think I like Tompkins. I was listening to him on the Bilge podcast. And that dude, for being as young as he is smart. And I also like the fact he's really good everywhere, as he showed last year winning the Opens AOI. But he cut his teeth fishing tidal shallow water, which I like. That's kind of my jam. So I like Tompkins.
I dig it. Nice.
Capitan.
All right, I'm going way off the cuff here. Jacob Fouts. He had a 28th in 2022. Good at scope. Can catch him. He had a really good finish at Toledo, which was 28th. So, yeah, I'm going to go Fouts.
Old Fouts.
Yeah.
I dig it. Brennan.
Dude, this is where I'm going to try to gain a little ground on everybody. You ready for this one? Carl Jacobson.
Oh.
Yeah.
Right? I thought for sure
you another good Jack- one in Texas.
Pretty good one in Texas, right? Pretty strong on fork traditionally. I think he's a phenomenal pre-spawn angler in general. Familiar with the big baits, so like he's going to probably try to keep it honest, at least in practice, I hope. Obviously don't know that at all. But there's familiarity there with it. So if it does play, if it can play, that's a bonus. I don't know. I think he's got a fairly strong start this year too. So traditionally he doesn't, I think, start the season the hottest and then he kind of gets it rolling. I think this year he's got it rolling already and maybe he keeps it going. So I like Carl Jacobson here.
Yeah, it's been fun to watch the development of Carl through the years.
Yeah.
Yep.
I got a good Carl story. We got time. Is Bailey falling asleep?
Is this going to motivate us? Because it sounds
just
like
cool.
Okay.
It's just Dark cool. The guys
don't like talks.
Do I got to get some like Celine Dion to play in the background?
Yes.
Not so, yes, you should. Here we go. So I fished the Derby last year. It's our big fall classic that everybody fishes. And it's on Coeur d'Alene Lake, which is a highly pressured lake. And Brandon and Carl fished it, which up front, that seems kind of douchey, but you know what I mean? I'm saying that out loud, but it was cool that they fished together. But Brandon rolled into a spot first thing in the morning that he knew big, small, or big, largemouth were in and didn't even cast. He just told Carl to do it. Carl had the big bait. Like, Brandon told Carl to catch the big, largemouth. And Carl caught, like, a six-second cast and then missed another two big ones that would – like, he is the man with the glide bait.
With the glider?
Yeah. And he they would have won the tournament hands down. This is the best part of the story. Hands down would have won the tournament. But Brandon culled 2 4.5s to leave a 3-pounder in the boat, and they lost by 0.10.
Rookie.
I heard about this story, Boomer, on the back end, and I was like, you know, it's interesting that Olenek finishes in second a lot on Coeur d'Alene on these when he's back home. And in my back of my mind, I'm like, maybe he's doing this so he can keep fishing these because otherwise,
yeah, so
like, no, you're out of here. Stop winning. Like he's like, you know, I'm going to call this three. We gotta come on. We'll come in second. All right.
It was a big Derby. Like I think we had 17. I had Burge flew up and we did a seminar for one of our dealers and him and I had like 17.5 pounds. We weren't in the top 15. Got our heads kicked in. And Brandon was throwing back 4.5s thinking that, you know, he would have won by like two or three pounds or, you know, whatever he was doing. And then when they handed those two the check, they just turned around and handed it back to the organization. They're like, we're sponsoring you guys next year and just gave the money back to the. But I just remember that story. Carl was like, Brandon goes, yeah, I just told Carl to get him. Like, just get him, Carl. Just get out your Clyde bait. Just get him.
Just get him.
Just get him. It's awesome. Pretty cool. Yeah, the guys.
I think the glide bait is such an incredible thing to watch on live and whatnot because those fish have so much leverage that people lose fish on it. You know what I mean? So it's such an entertaining bait to watch someone have because it's a big bait. You get to watch this thing eat the thing. But then how many fish you see get lost on a glide bait that is just heartbreaking, you know?
Milliken, that one he lost, I think it was on the last day, was not small.
Really?
Oh, it's huge. They had it on the drone shot. It's one of the biggest. It was an absolute monster. I don't think it wins the tournament for him, but it was a monster.
I didn't see that.
The one he caught prior tried to get its mouth out of the water, and he kept saying that, keep your mouth in the water, and he was pushing down trying so that once that bait clears the water and they can move, you know what I mean, they can move so much mass. But he hooked one that they have a drone shot of it. It was an absolute heathen. Heathen.
Dude, that's the new t-shirt. It's just a giant, and then it's just absolute heathen on the
side. Just take absolute out, just put heathen.
Yeah. Sorry, I missed that. Yeah, it was really cool.
Boomer, did you give your pick?
I did. No, I didn't. I'm sorry. I'm wearing you guys out. I apologize. I picked Taku.
Taku.
I picked Taku, and I wish that somebody didn't show you that you could hit the percentage button. Because I was so confident. I'm like, this is a good pick. It's kind of in the middle. And then I look at him like he's like 8% ahead of everybody else.
Yeah. And he doesn't like big fish.
Yeah, he's afraid of those big ones. Be careful.
He had a good finish. he's always had a good finish on fork. He did well in the last tournament.
Swimming the wacky. Like he was tough not to pick. I mean, like you're dead on. He is phenomenal on fork.
And then here I am taking a guy that's at 1.8%.
Hey.
Stupid percentages.
A 1.2, even worse.
There you go.
Hey, if he has a good tournament, I look like a, I don't know. I don't know what I look like, but genius, I guess.
You don't get more points for a lower percentage, right? It's something I've never
looked at. No, but I wish like you did. That would be cool. If it could be like a bet deal, that would be a
bigger risk. Mm-hmm.
I thought there was something to that. Like, if you pick a lower percentage and it finishes higher than the higher percentage or something like that.
It helps if you're behind and you're trying to make up ground, right? Because if 70% of the field has Lee Livesay and he bombs and you have a good tournament, you gain a ton of ground because 70% of the people that are playing just had that bad pick. So it's kind of some strategy, right? Like what Brennan's talking about with the percentages, like if you're thinking about it in odds in poker, like we're all fishermen and doing this odds thing, it's like if I'm on top, if I have a big pot in poker, I should be playing pretty safe now. Like I should be playing those high picks, right? I mean, I'm not saying I'm just doing that. It's the first event of the year, but I'm just saying like that's kind of the strategy behind it. If you're behind, then you should be riskier to try and make up ground.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing, but something that I thought about today is that that strategy works like nationally, but I wonder if it has works to the same degree with a group of six of us.
You're right. We need the percentage picks with the six of us.
Yeah, that's really all that matters if we're playing within our little group, right? Like, so technically, absolutely, yeah. So the more people that pile on Lee Livesay, like with our group, well, Boomer, you didn't pick Lee, right?
Percentage, right? So it's. Right. It's five out of six.
Example. So, Boomer, you can do some damage right there. You won't because Livesay's going to win.
But we can't change it after we pick, you right? Could've.
Nope. Picks are locked in.
Yep.
All right. 83 percentile. So we're not far off with the six of us as far as Lee Livesay's picks. All right. Deacon?
Bucket A.
All right. Bucket A is absolutely loaded. It is absolutely stacked. It's got all the rookies in it. But man, I'm having a hard time not riding the Patrick Walters gravy train. That dude is phenomenal. He is such a good fisherman. He's obviously blown it out of the water at Fork before. And just watching him this last week at Toledo is like, dude, I mean, I just don't see a way where he doesn't have a good tournament, right? It's not necessarily that he may win it or may not win it, whatever. It may be, but he's going to have a good tournament here, I think, anyway.
Yeah. This one was tough, man. I was pretty torn on this, but I think I'm sold on the big bait, Timber, being able to pick up a jerk bait, being able to pick up his hover juggle. I got to rock with Milliken on this one.
I think
it's a great pick.
I think it might be a hangover event.
Saying he's not going to do well at Fork?
No. The hangover.
I thought you meant the Super Bowl hangover, like a team doesn't do well the next year.
Yeah. Like I'm thinking back like 4 or 5 years ago before they went to Fork, like before they had the big break and then went back to Fork. Zeldane posted a video throwing like a 10-inch mag draft. Head Fork just catching giants. I think that might be the sleeper bait of the event. I know we talk like it's talked about a lot, but this feels like a mag draft on forward facing sonar type of event. So it's
a big tattletale for sure. I could say
big tattletale, yeah.
Big pre spawn females.
Huge. All right, Justin, what do you got?
Well, I figured a lot of people would take Milliken and Wolf. I thought those were pretty safe picks.
Don't you take my pick?
I don't know. I
know who you're taking, Andy.
You're taking
Adam Luke Palmer.
Adam said he's riding.
The gravy
train with Walters. I'm going to ride the gravy train with Koya.
I think it's great. Ooh,
that dude. How many tournaments has he fished total now with the elites? Like 11,
10.
So good.
And how many top tens?
Mercer was throwing
seven now and two wins.
Yeah, two wins. Like
I'm gonna ride that pick until he, you know, disappoints me.
And if he didn't have boat issues at Murray, he probably would have won at Murray too last year.
I did not remember that.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure he had boat issues on day four and still caught a good bag.
That dude is ridiculous.
Next level.
Yeah.
Nobody's done that before. They were saying that, like, statistically, nobody's ever done that in 10 events. What he just pulled off.
Yeah, Polinick had a post. I don't know if anybody else saw it. It was within the last couple of days. He went up on stage and got a picture with Koya, and he was talking about how he was basically considered like a prodigy in Japan before LiveScope really like took off. So he's not just a scoper. I think he can catch him, you know,
however he wants.
Exactly.
All right, Captain.
Jordan Lee. Even when the BPT went there, he waxed him really good. I think he's going to have another big event at Fork. And he always does good in Texas. Mm-hmm. And if there's big fish, he catches them. So, yeah, mm-hmm. Jordan Lee, he's back.
Mm-hmm. Back. Dude, I think, yeah, it was really cool to watch him on live. I think that was awesome to see.
Heck yeah. Brennan?
You know what? I was really, really torn here between Milliken and Luke Palmer. I'm going to go Milliken, but I see Luke Palmer having a phenomenal event here too. Obviously coming off of a super hot finish at Toledo, both of them. I just think Milliken ultimately, when it comes to forward facing sonar, I think he's like a higher degree than most on the Elite Series even. I don't know that you can really get much better with that technology. And I don't know. I think you're going to see it play here again for him. So going Ben.
I'm with it.
I miss the days of Luke Palmer being in bucket B and C.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When he was sneaky. Yeah, for sure.
He was just a phenomenal player. And 30, now it's A, and it's right. Like, gosh, dang it. Stop being shown
being good. Goal. Talk about like an angler adapting and growing with the sport and embracing the new changes and just going with it. Cause when he broke into the scene, he was all about like flipping, fishing shallow for the most part, power fishing. And now he's using a 2.5-inch bait on a 3/16 ounce head and still cracking them with forward facing. Like,
yep.
Guy's good.
For sure.
That's how he won last year, was flipping trees.
Yeah.
He's legit, man. All right, Boomer.
All right. I want Walters. I have two things I'm going to say, though. Number one, I went with Walters for a different reason. Number one, the baby pattern is statistically proven. First year of your first child, Brandon won AOY. It's just a thing. Baby pattern is the reason I chose him over Milliken. And if Chris Johnston doesn't win the tournament, if Chris Johnston wins the tournament, I want you to kick me off this show, break every alpha angler rod you have, because I'm not trusting my gut.
Dude, I that was my biggest not. Boomer, I know you're trying to copy all my picks here, but that is exactly between the biggest debate I had this afternoon when I was making picks was between Chris Johnston and Walters, because Chris is just fishing incredibly
out of his mind.
And if they end up being on the bed, he's gonna smoke him there. Like, he's just he's so versatile.
Okay. I actually had him picked until we started the show, and then I just couldn't get over Walt. Oh my god,
Walters, you'll switch your picks after the show anyway, so
cheater.
I fat fingered it. I'm sorry, guys.
yeah
went to close it and chose freaking Chris.
How many, if any, fish over 10 pounds are we going to see this event?
Pre-spawn.
Oh, good question, Bailey.
I'm going to say over 3.
This is where we need to have prop bets between us, like on things like this. Like, this is where we should have like some, if it's one bait that we send each other or whatever it is like, okay.
Dude, I'm going to start losing wiggle words fast, brother.
We got a comment here. Hold on. We got a comment from MJ.
Is fire with these comments. He's always fire with last year's fire with them. These are just as good.
So the Keystone Lights have got going because the shorts get you fired up.
Yeah. No,
Boomer, you're on the spot.
But you know what? You know what?
Did not get you fired up.
That guy, you're not wrong. That guy has a whole lot of not give a shit. You know what I mean? Pardon my language. Like, if you can rock those shorts, you know what I mean? Like, he don't care. Dude shows up and kicks butt and leaves. He'll do it in pink shorts. He'll do it with his hair on fire. He don't care. Yeah.
That's amazing.
All right. Any other picks on fish over 10? We had three, but Deacon mentioned a prop bet. What are we betting?
Well, I don't know what we bet.
Don't ask for baits to Deacon because they're not getting there anytime soon.
We should do.
I just don't get them. So, no, I think that should be the line. I guess is what I'm saying. It's like if it's like, okay, over or under 10 pounders, we got to think about that. Is it three? Is it two? Like Andy should. If Andy makes the line, then we all say over or under. And I don't know. I'm just trying to think of how to make something
kind of fun. Prop bet.
Right, we could do it on weights because we haven't talked about weights yet.
Okay. Well, let's do the over under. Andy said 3.
10 pounds.
Over 10. I'll go feeling frisky. I'll go over. Digging?
I like frisky.
Dude, I think 3 is like the perfect amount.
That's a sound bite right there.
I like frisky. That is a sound bite.
Patrick Walters short. Andy says, I like frisky.
I'm writing down that time. I'm going to save that and put it on the soundboard. I like frisky.
That's right.
Dude, I think 3 is the perfect line for this, so it's so hard to choose below or above that. I think there's going to be
that like 2.5 and make it even harder. Like,
no, that makes it easier because I'm just going to pick 3.
How many over 10 got caught at Toledo?
None, right?
None.
Not one. I was thinking Schlopper's fish was over 10.
They said they were over 10, then they were like 9.5.
Yeah, didn't he get a little excited on that one? He thought it was over 10.
Lake record, he said.
Yeah, he's like, that's the lake record.
That's a good one.
I wonder what is the lake.
Watching Slopper on live is it's so good.
He has a reputation in this area, like around me. Like I work with Pat through Do It, and he has a reputation in this area for being like the funniest human on the planet. So yeah. He's a goob. He's a goober.
I love it. I'm here for it though. Yep. I love watching it.
For sure.
Slayton dude's caked up for sure. Did we both say?
Dude, you know what would actually be hilarious since watching Schlapper on live a good amount last year, but also this year, him and Steve Kennedy as a team would be hilarious on live.
Gosh.
Oh my gosh.
Like you give Steve Kennedy a white jig, right? And he's got the Alabama shake, the Steve Kennedy shake going on, not even an Alabama shake, and then Patch Schlapper like commentating it, that'd be hilarious.
It would actually be really It would be intriguing to get a decent group of us. We're getting really sidetracked here, but I don't care. I'm here for it. Mm-hmm. A group of us, we all pick like two pros, BPT and Bass, that we'd say is our like would be a dream team, like team duo, and we make a bracket out of it, and we all have to go and figure out who has the best duo.
Could be a good
now
game
they have
show.
To fish it. We're gonna say all that, but we need Bassmaster to create that event and televise it. Like that would be incredible.
But make it a redfish event and team these guys up, right?
Screw it, Serious Angler Live. We're gonna pull money out of nowhere and make these guys fish
right.
Out of nowhere.
Yeah. All right. So you, Deacon, what'd you have? Over or under?
Are we doing 2.5 or 3?
3.
3. Then I'm gonna say under. Under. I think it's gonna be 2.
Debbie Downer.
Not trying to be Debbie Downer.
All right, Brendan.
I'm gonna go at 3.
At 3. Okay. Yep.
Wait. I thought that's the line.
Does that work?
Go above or below?
Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah. I'll go above. I'll be a Debbie upper.
He's saying 3.5.
Yeah.
Yeah. There'll be a 5-pounder in there for sure.
Yep.
I don't think they'll get over it. Sander.
Justin?
I was initially thinking over, but now I'm wondering how many they caught last time. I remember Libsy had a couple of 9s, I thought, in that giant bag.
But they're post-spawn, too.
Yeah, this is the earliest we've been here in a long time, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm just going out to go spawn fish with eggs. Like
I'm gonna go over.
Let's it would have been better if we would have chose if you guys would have sent your weights first. Like, what do you think the event weights are going to be?
You just haven't picked your weight yet, have you?
No, I'm waiting for Adam.
I'm going to go last again as well.
I picked 110 pounds.
That's 110.
Yeah, you got to have at least one for that.
113.3 is where I'm at.
I got 112.7. Captain.
114.9.
Justin.
Wow, I'm way low. I was 102.9. I was low last week too.
Debbie down
136.
I mean, well, what 115 is like 29 pounds a day, which is very doable in the pre-spawn at Fork.
For 4 days in a row?
Yeah, cold Thursday morning. We'll see.
Yeah,
I think that's gonna be the hard part, but somebody's gonna catch him with a minnow on forward facing sonar, like, mm-hmm. and they'll catch big ones.
Well, to be fair, if you guys remember, was the BPT, it was snowing when they were fishing there, and they cracked the living crap out of some big ones.
Very, very, very.
And last year, when Swindle was cracking them, it was cold too in the post spawn, so like they had some nasty wind, big cold front, and they still quacked. And they still cracked them.
They
like,
quacked them.
They're Florida strain. They don't make sense.
Yeah, they're Florida strain in Texas. Yep. They bite when it's cold for some reason. Yeah.
Well, the 21 event was one with 112.
Yes.
And that, you know what I mean? That's
is that in the fall.
And now we have forward facing sonar and pre spawn. Maybe I need to change my
mind. Deacon, I think that was
Cobb's spawn.
Oh, okay. Was that 18?
May then?
May
that
was
in April, late April, and then 22 it was 113. So, granted, add a little bit of weight.
Yeah, we might be a little light.
It might be 120.
Let me change mine to 155.
All right, we're gonna call you Adam Bartuzak now because he would always go way high.
Oh, really?
Like Sabine River,
not even possible high.
76.
Sabine River could be like 92 pounds.
Yeah,
we're gonna have 18 pounds a day, boys.
That's right.
Hey, but you know, you gotta love the positivity because you're right. Last event, I don't know. I think I had like 98 or something, not far off 100. But I think everyone was kind of in the low 90s, right? Like we were thinking.
I think I was like 96, 97.
Okay, maybe not.
Here's the question: are these pre-spawn fish going to be grouped up where you have multiple guys targeting the same schools and pirating each other's fish where they were spread out more in the past?
I think it'll be less of that than we saw in Toledo.
Yeah, I think Forks will be spread out because there's so many fish.
Even though Toledo's bigger.
Yeah.
I think what we're facing is doing in these derbies, why you're seeing people more grouped up more so than ever, is like you're fishing tournament. And you are just going to go to where you see the most blimps, right? Like in my eyes, where do you see the most big fish together or just the most fish where you're going to have the opportunities? And it's a numbers game. And so everyone is finding those big wads of fish more often with forward facing. And therefore I think you're seeing more of that like walleye style fishing, right? Like to me growing up and like going and fishing in Nebraska, we always made fun of the walleye guys because there'd be 115 boats on a point. And you're like, just what are those guys all doing? Right. Right. And it was like, oh, this is, we're not like that. We don't fish near each other. Now it's like, no, we fish near each other every once in a while and fish there. Like
look at Koya, right? And at Toledo Bend, he caught a giant with a boat like 6 feet away from him against the timber pole. So like
yeah.
Bumper boats.
He's just got the magic potion.
Yeah.
Did you guys, I got one for you. These are Florida strain in Texas, right? Here's something Florida strain don't like to bite. And a lot of the way we fished before forward imaging was cover water and get the ones that'll bite. But I think it was Alex Weatherall, day three weigh-in, lost one. Did you guys hear this story? Lost one at the boat. And he lost it. Yeah. And he chased it down for 10 minutes and got it to bite again. And ended
that
up
is
weighing
nuts.
It down.
Yeah,
that's something that like I think what I've learned the most from watching live this year that I'm not incorporating, like I feel proficient fishing with forward facing sonar. I do it a ton, I do not throw back to the same fish as much as these guys do. Like, they will chase, you know what I mean? Like, they will keep going at that fish. Like, I saw that with Robert G multiple times, like, just making that sucker bite.
And sometimes it's just an angle, the way you present it, the way your boat's positioned. Also, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's food. Dumb fish.
Yeah. So you got like 25 years of Florida strains being miserable in a cold front, right? They're just horrible. Everybody talks about how miserable they are. What are they like? You know, who knows if they stayed where they were at and you just couldn't catch them, or if they went out to the abyss. But either way, if you chase one of them down long enough, you're going to catch it. I mean, these guys are going to do it. If that's possible, they'll do it. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah. I'm with you. All right, let's go around the horn, give our drain the lake so we can wrap this sucker up.
Oh,
yep. Deacon, let her rip.
All right. I've got Lee Livesey, Chris Zaldane, Patrick Walters, Robert G. Is it G or G?
G.
G. Robert G. Kaoya Fujita, Jordan Lee, Stetson Blaylock, who we still don't pick, and he's phenomenal, right? Like, none of us.
Always phenomenal early. Always.
He's just all the time. I mean, he's like a Luke Palmer. And then Justin Hamner was my last pick. And yeah, those are my drain the lakes.
I got Drew Benton, Brandon Cobb, Acme, Derek Hudnall, Steve Kennedy, Lee Livesey, Swindle, and Zaldane.
Nice. I went Livesey, Zaldane, Walters, Kennedy. Then I brought in some rookies. Wesley Gore. I've got John Sukup, Robert Gee, and Luke Palmer.
Nice. I got Lee Milliken, Zaldane, Watley, Livesey, Combs, Card, and Pipkins.
Brandon.
I've got Stephen Kennedy, Lee Livesey, Brad Watley, Clark Wenlett, Caleb Sumrall, Luke Palmer, Carl Jochumson, Brandon Cobb.
And that's it.
That's it.
That's it.
No, I didn't go.
Moving on.
Yeah, that's a joke.
I just chose him. Like, I waited for Adam, and then I just chose him. So I got Benin, Fuentes, Faust, Gustafson, Hackney, Hamner, Huff, and Ito. Sorry. This podcast has already gone too long.
How's that go again?
Yeah, it's like the kid in elementary school you feel bad for. He's like, oh gosh, dang it. Boomer has to read. Oh, we feel bad. That's not cool.
I was looking at the big red letters to say you're only allowed to add 8 anglers to your roster. I'm like, damn it, keep pushing the button.
Old ass man.
Boomer won drain the lake because he had 10 anglers last week.
Boomer clicked it so many times that it actually just let 2 more anglers go through.
That's right. I got a degree in engineering. Hold the button down for 30 seconds, you get what you want, right?
Yep.
He got 3 Patrick Walters.
I did.
Hey, Brandon's got 4 Ben Millikens in his lineup.
I do. Yeah, I should share that.
You should actually share that to social. That would be hilarious.
That would be so good.
The best part is, too, the Photoshop is so great that it's got 4 different Bens with 4 different shirts on. Like, it's so funny.
You can't even see it. Send the screenshot to me. I'll put it up on the screen.
Oh, man. But literally 4 different t-shirts on Ben Milliken.
Oh, wait. You already sent it.
Yeah, it's in the chat. It's worth looking at.
I'll share it for the peeps. Let's see if we got some. Somebody saying no Kenta. Kenta would have been.
That's a good point, really. Yeah. He's phenomenal. Yeah.
The best open tangler in the elites.
Yeah.
What bucket was he in regular fantasy? Because I almost picked him. I remember looking at Kenta.
It's either B or D.
I think it was D. It was something far back where I was like, wow, this would be a decent
dude. What frustrates me is I can never hit that right for fantasy using Kenta, but like opens, like just the guy goes off. Like
if there's an opens fantasy and he's fishing, you take him, he's gonna be in the top 10 every time.
When there's a 200 plus boat field, Kenta knows what he's doing.
Do you like the Joey Cifuentes III behind Milliken there?
Well, Ben Milliken III.
That's right.
Ben Milliken III.
But, hey.
Oh, man, it's so good.
What do you guys think about Hanselman? I mean, being not, do you think he just doesn't like the imaging?
Forward-facing?
Yeah.
I remember when Hanselman like busted onto the scene. He won like all those tournaments in Texas early that one year, and then he's just kind of been there.
And he the championship.
Brutally good in Texas, yeah, right? Yeah. Like, and I think that for him, like a lot of it, if I recall, that's right when I really got into tournament fishing. And I remember watching the Toyota Series. I mean, it was unreal, right? He won three Toyota Series and the Toyota Series Championship. Like, no one will ever do that again, probably. And he was cranking a lot of the time. Like, that was his big thing, right? It was the Keith Combs era, which I could see playing here. But forward facing everything else, like, it was, that's was if I recall right, I remember him throwing a crankbait a lot, which is in Texas.
Yeah, I feel like he's one of the group. He's one of the people that is still left from a small group of people that were the beneficiaries of like the early days of the Texas fishing, like when we still had Amistad, Falcon, Del Rio, stuff like that. And he's kind of like one of the last few left from that. Keith Combs,
isn't Falcon starting to come back though?
I think so.
I've heard good things about South Texas lately, and on all those lakes down there, Falcon, Amistad. Like,
and Texas has water this year too, which has been a rare thing for the last couple of years. So that lake's probably really going to pop off in the next 4 or 5 years. Get a couple good spawn classes. Watch out.
I know we're trying to wrap things up, Bailey, but this I think is something worth talking about. Is, do you think Elias's record will be broken? What was his record, by the way? This is a weights, right?
Wasn't it 140 something?
142 was it?
Just insane.
Oh. Yeah, that was Falcon. I forget which year. I think he was throwing a great big worm.
Yeah.
Somebody was having cranking, hurling a giant crankbait.
Yeah, because he had one hook in the throat.
132.8. Yeah, 132.8.
I think with forward facing, I know like that was a heyday prime of a lake, but I think we're seeing larger bags than ever, right? Like, I could see records being broken. We've seen more entry than ever. That's insane, dude.
Well, and weight wise for this tournament,
it could happen this tournament.
It could happen, yeah. Based on, you know, like these are all pre spawn fish. Like,
you catch 5 sevens a day, you're right there.
Just 5 sevens.
Easy.
Yeah, right. MJ's like, do you think if they went to Clear Lake, dude? Clear Lake's popping off. There's been bags. Yeah.
Because it's wet. It's got that new lake effect the last couple.
Yeah, it's a lake, right? Andy. Of course, it's wet. You turn.
Come on,
man. No, it was down. The last time I was there, it was down like 6 feet or something. I mean, it was
scary.
Last couple of years, though, this year alone, they've had like historic flooding all through California. So like,
atmospheric river.
River. Yeah, they're going through another one right now, aren't they, Boomer?
Here we go. Meteorologist Andy back at it again.
Yeah, like California has been like underwater for like the last 3 months, like historic flooding and stuff. It's been wild.
What are the lakefront snow effects that you guys have in California?
It's just like a fact, but California is an atmospheric river.
It's not the Pacific.
Gosh,
you guys have all these cool features and things, and we just have corn here.
Corn and tornadoes.
Corn and tornadoes and snow.
Wish I had an atmospheric river, whatever that is.
No, you don't wish you had one of those. Got it. It's like a Shasta. You take two sets of rain gear and two sets of clothes, and there's only like four marinas on the whole lake. What's that?
I said we need all the rain we can get here. We're super dry, mega drought.
Yeah, Sacramento is, I think, like less than a foot, and it's going to flood the city. They're going to start dumping it into the fields here soon.
You guys mentioned that rain in Texas. Did that any of that get into Amistad? Last I heard, it was still way down.
No idea.
I'm not sure.
Call up Danny Brower.
Yeah, that's who I thought was on. I thought I heard him on a podcast recently talking about it still being way low. That was an awesome lake too. That kind of fell off.
Yeah.
I think it's just because nobody wants to drive there. It's so far from everything, kind of like the West Coast, right? It's just...
Well, ultimately, it's going to be far for somebody.
Boomer, wasn't the MPFL supposed to have like a tournament there and everyone vetoed it because it was so far?
Yeah, and it was hard for guys like Bryant and I because somebody made a comment like, that's like 27 hours from my house. And I'm like, it was really hard, but we were the two guys in the back, you know, chirping, going, yeah, every drive we do is 27 hours. But that's one of the main reasons. But I also think that wasn't there kind of a hubbub about the South Shore, like the trouble a couple people got into? And it just
They have like major cartel issues, like right there on the other side of the lake.
And have a basketball
I think they had like
it's dangerous.
I'm pretty sure, like,
unless you're Denny Brower,
some American got killed.
Yeah, dude, the most classic Texas marketing scheme I have ever seen. So I had an old Legend, a 2005 Legend that I loved, and this was when Legend was like bumping out boats right in Texas, and they like had their big come up. I remember seeing the Legend that was like the Amistad edition or something.
Oh, the V20, like military. V20
that was like military. Yeah, it had like it was set up for like military stuff on a bass boat. And it's like, this is the most Texas thing I've ever seen. It's OD green. There's like a bipod, like on the front seat had a gun rest, and then like guys were like, there was just all kinds of compartments with weapons. Like it was like a whole thing. It was like, wow, this is the best thing
I've seen in a long time. Organizing bass fishermen.
Just a belt fed M60. That's all I really want.
That's what Justin and I were joking. There's these guys that are fishing the Bassmaster Kayak event. They started making these hats called they put on there Scope and Hope. I got him getting me one, but Justin and I were joking. He's like, you should take a picture of you pointing a rifle into the water for a spawning fish and be like, am I doing the Scope and Hope thing right?
I'm gonna do it. I won't shoot.
No guarantees.
Scope and Hope. Nice.
That's awesome.
Well, gents, anything else on Lake Fork before we wrap this sucker up?
I can't believe it's only the second event where some other leagues are already on like their third or fourth, right? Like, what's BPT at now? Their fourth event or third?
Third.
Yeah. Third.
One
shocker. Yeah. Jacob Wheeler wins an event.
Incredible.
Scoping on Santee Cooper.
Scoping on Santee, which, by the way, quick shout out, freaking Justin Lucas, gigantic limit, by the way. He had six fish for like 46, but five for like 37 or something like that on Santee.
On Santee?
Throwing a freaking ping and a minnow. Cricket tickling.
Dude, well, you're about to see the Open go there, next week?
Is it next week?
I mean,
Bassmaster. So cut that way in half because there's 5 million people there.
Right.
Yeah.
And they get tormented for 5 days in practice.
Yep.
Two people per Cypress tree.
One question. Do you guys know on Drain the Lake, does it change for the Classic as far as like, I mean, obviously the guys who are in the Classic are going to be the only ones that can be used, but does it do anything different or is it just like there's less people to choose from?
Less people to choose from.
Yeah.
Wait, we do it for the Classic too?
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah.
You betcha.
Tony, you betcha.
Or drop off Christy.
That might not be good.
If you chose Christy already.
Uh-oh. And Hackney, for those that weren't paying attention, Hackney's done well at Grove, Oklahoma.
I don't know. My picks.
I got some homework to do.
Are you fishing that Bass Kayak Championship, Justin?
Yeah.
Oh, dang.
Over at the Classic?
Yeah, it's Lake Ten Killers where we're doing it.
Oh, dude, that lake is awesome. Nice. I love that place.
Yeah, it's cool.
Got any waypoints? No, I'm kidding. Don't tell me.
Oh, he just got caught up. He's in the off limits, isn't he?
Yeah,
I'm sending it to Steve Owens. Exactly.
Yep, exactly.
He's probably listening.
Hopefully I do a little better than I did this last derby.
You got it.
You're only as good as your last golf swing. Remember that. Brandon said it on stage.
All right, here's something for you guys. Now that we're on the kayak avenue here. What are your guys' best guesses for if the Classic's going back to Ray Roberts next year? Where do you think the Bass Kayak Classic is going to be at?
Probably the same place. Probably Possum Kingdom again.
That was my first thought also. That they could go other places. They've been like every three times now.
Yeah.
But it, I don't know. I don't. It's hard for me to see him going someplace else. As big as some of the bags that got caught by the kayak guys, I think they're going back.
No, Brian says Louisville. I'm not going.
No, they should switch. They should switch the classic to be on Possum Kingdom. That would be insane,
That would be unreal.
I heard the COVID year when they moved it to the summer. I heard that some of the pros were upset that the kayak guys got to do Possum Kingdom and they were on Ray Roberts. Yeah, I heard that. I don't remember where it was, but I heard that.
And Ray Roberts isn't even that terrible of a lake, right? Like, there's big ones that live, but that's...
Yeah, it's Texas, dude.
Yeah, it's fair.
Just all of Texas.
Ray Roberts does look like a fun place to fish, though. Like, it looks like a flipper's dream.
Dude, I just can't... I used to keep getting pictures of thinking through... gosh, who from the West Coast did phenomenal in that classic?
Justin Kerr.
Justin Kerr, man. I like that. The him throwing a rat up around like bushes and stuff. It was like, oh, this is the most vintage West Coast. Like, let's see it. Like that. Yo, that was
so sick.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a
well, gents, if you guys don't have anything else, we're going to wrap this sucker up. If you haven't yet, check out the new episode of Business from the Bass Boat that dropped today with Mr. Clint talking about some outdoor videography. Adam, anything quick on that?
No, good stuff, dude. Clint just talks about the grind of it. He's a pro. He's really good with videography, photography, and he's like, dude, for real, it's a tough deal, like to make a living doing this, chasing around elites and everyone else.
What's he doing this year? I haven't talked to Clint in a while.
He's following a couple guys on the open. So there's a couple guys together. They actually created a podcast as well. But it's Dalton Smith, Brett Cannon, some of the OHIV guides, and those kinds. And there's one other one fishing all the opens. He's following those guys around, and he's hopping into some elites, depending on who it is. But so he's getting it done.
Heck yeah,
good guy to have on a podcast. Cool kid.
Yeah. Yep. Well, folks, appreciate you guys all tuning in as always tonight. Tomorrow night, we'll be going live again for Serious Angler Live at 8 p.m. Eastern. We got Matt Becker joining us on a hot start again. You know, being reigning AOI from last year and two top tens already to start the year again. So we'll have Matt join us tomorrow night. Appreciate y'all for tuning in, and we'll see you guys on the next one.
Well, that was an awesome show. Hope you guys enjoyed it. If you can and your app allows it, please leave us a rating and review. It really helps us get seen more, which allows us to access more time and more variables to be able to bring to the show to make it better for you guys. So hope you enjoyed it. And if you did and you like some of the things we talked about in this episode and want to check out our show partners, all of that is in every single show description. You can click down there. It's got all of our discount codes, all of our links to our show partners, where you guys can go and support the people that support this show and help us make this show happen. And of course, this show does not happen without you guys. You guys know we appreciate you. You're the Serious Angler fam. You're the reason we're here. Appreciate y'all. And we'll see y'all on the next one.